Thankful for the opportunity to be here today. I come here with great anticipation. As I arose this morning and prepared for this day, that the Lord would be here with us, was in my prayers. And I thoroughly enjoy coming to the house of God in the morning, on a Sunday morning. We have a promise, and we have something to remember, that this was God's invitation to the children of men. He created a Sabbath, a day of rest, because he knew that we needed it. And his promise was to be here with us. And so I ask that you'd pray for our brother, and that you'd pray for yourselves, that as God fulfills his promises in his faithfulness, that he would speak to us today. That the things that are said would rest somewhere in your heart. That his message to you would be clear this day. And that is my hope and my prayer. As you prepare to hear the word from our brother and pastor, Gordon McKinn.
I need to turn it on first so you can hear me. Good morning. It's good to see each one of you. And thank you, Joel, for that beautiful special, and Jenny. It's one of my more favorite songs that I like to hear sung. Well, this morning, you know, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, in the sense that it may be part sermon, part teaching. I may ask somebody in the audience to answer a question. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Jeremiah in the 30th chapter. There's some words here that I want to bring to your attention, a promise that comes through the prophet Jeremiah. You got to remember, Jeremiah was prophesying, and he was alive through Josiah, which was the second to the last king of Israel, and then Zedekiah, when the fall of Israel took place in about 597, 98 BC. This is when Jerusalem was carried off by Babylon. And Jeremiah was part of that. Those prophets there had been prophesying. Remember, Lehi and his family, prior to this date, were doing the very same thing. And the Lord told Lehi and his family to leave Jerusalem because he was going to protect them. Well, Jeremiah, he stayed because the Lord wanted him to stay. And so not only did he prophesy with Lehi and others that were there at that time, he also prophesied of a time when Israel would return, the sons of Jacob would return to Jerusalem. And so those things are recorded here. In this particular verse of Scripture in the 30th chapter, I want to bring to your attention this morning. And then I will take it a little bit further. The first three verses here, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Forgive me for being emotional. There's something that the Lord does, I think, within the ministry of the Church of Christ is this kingship with Israel that pricks the heart. That as it says that they'll be nursing mothers and fathers, that relationship is there in the heart for Israel. And the beauty of the prophecy here of Jeremiah is that it's been fulfilled, hasn't it? We know, because Israel possesses Jerusalem, this prophecy has been fulfilled. Jeremiah would have loved to have seen the day of this prophecy being fulfilled. And how beautiful these words are, because they're truth. And I thank God that we have these words, because we can see the faithfulness of the Word of God to His people. And so we should be able to apply it to our own lives. As to the Word of God is faithful to Israel, so will He be faithful to us in that Word, that we might have life, that He would be our strength in our life. In Isaiah, I want you to hold that place. Well, no, let me finish here in Jeremiah. If we drop down to verse 7, it says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it." Speaking of our day. Okay. "It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And I know Brother Don has preached sermons concerning Jacob's trouble, and I'm not going there. I want you just to remember those sermons that Brother Don had spoke, and he related it to the day that we live in. Think about it. Israel's sitting there on a little island of land, and all around him are people who are bent to destroy Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. And it's going to affect the whole world. And it is affecting the whole world. It says, "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." Speaking of Jesus Christ. "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob," or Israel, "saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid." That is the promise, that when this was going to be, this is going to occur, that that Israel was going to have that within their bosom as they would embrace those things that God has in store for them in these last days, as they embrace their God, even Jesus Christ. Then moving over to the 16th verse, "Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all the prey upon thee will I give for a prey." And I want you to understand that statement. As you read in your newspapers, as you hear over in the radio and the TV and the news, you find that all of those people over there that like in Iran and Iraq and the different Libya, you know, wherever it is, you see where they want to destroy Israel. And God is promising that destruction is going to be theirs, not Israel's. And again, I want you to relate it to yourself in those things in your life where those evil things that would come to try and destroy you, God holds that same promise out for each of you and me. It says in the 17th verse, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. When those of you that went to visit Israel, was that not so? And have mercy on their on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. Isn't that what you found when you went there? Of all the destruction that took place in those days gone by, they built on top of it new cities and was prosperous. The 19th verse is I want you to, this is my focus of my sermon today. And out of them shall proceed, out of Israel, shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. All their afflictions, everything that they endured, and now they have been given, they have given their homelands back, and within their heart, they are giving thanksgiving to their God. In verse 22, it says, "And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." I believe that that's what brought them thanksgiving, being reunited to their God. Having that understanding within their bosom that it was not them, but God who brought them to their home, who had been merciful unto their forefathers, who had a desire for them and reached out for them and fulfilled the promises that he gave to them. Jacob's trouble. In Isaiah, in the 51st chapter, goes along with really this period of time that Jeremiah was prophesying. Here in Isaiah, in the 51st chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Here in Isaiah 51, verse 1, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." It's the same picture that you see in Jeremiah. The thanksgiving and joy and melody of voice, of giving thanks. I think about that song that we sing, The Rock. I want to be a part of that. And I want you to be a part of that. I want you to feel that joy and thanksgiving, and I want you to be able to express that to others around you, to your fellow brothers and sisters, to the people that you come in contact in life. The joy and thanksgiving that God has come into your life and have brought that peace in your heart. In the book of Leviticus, and you don't have to turn there, you find there was the law of Moses as it was recorded as to what they were to do in offering their different sacrifices. But there was one sacrifice that they were to do. It says, offer it on your own will. All these other sacrifices that they were doing, it was commanded, you have to do this at a certain time, certain dates. These things I'm commanding you, you have to do, and you have to follow. But there was one that he said, you do it on your own will. And can you guess what that was? And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, when you want to give thanks to God, you offer it at your own will. Really, that's my sermon today, is to live in thanksgiving. The desire of God to hear from your own voice. Your own will, thanking God for the blessings that He's brought into your life. One of the things that you find in the Old Testament, when you can read in the 1 Samuel, you find when Israel wanted a king, and the Lord said, you know, you really don't want to go there, but they said, no, everyone else has a king, we want a king. And so He suffered them. And He had given them a king. It was Saul. And he found that the very thing that God told him, that you have a king, he could be a good king or he can be a bad king. He could lead you in the wrong way. And so was Saul. And so the Lord chose another. Take Saul's place. And you can find that in the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel. And there's a statement that the Lord spoke through Samuel of God's choice of David. It was his character. And it says, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. And he was speaking to Saul at the time. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And so I want us to examine what was that, and what was that character within David that God saw to make that statement that he sought a man after his own heart. In the book of Acts, you can find a similar statement there in the 13th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Here it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, even Jesus. So as we know that it was through the lineage of David that Jesus Christ came forth, at least on his father's side. But that particular character, a man after his own heart. One of the things that I thought about and was able to find in the scripture to help me to understand where could I find those things that would express David's heart? Really, the more common thing is you can go to the Psalms. In the Psalms, you find that he praised God on a regular basis, and he gave thanks to his heavenly Father. In Psalms, in the 30th chapter, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He couldn't contain himself in that feeling of thanksgiving within his heart, and he did it in song, and he was known for it. If you remember in the scripture, he sang songs to Saul to soothe him in his heart, to bring Saul into the remembrance of God. In Psalms, the 69th chapter, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. When we come and we have a worship service and we're able to come and sing songs, that's in my heart. And when I sing those songs, and as the Spirit moves upon me, they speak to my heart of God. And they remind me of His goodness and those things that He works within my life. In Psalms in the 92nd chapter, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." That was something David had that he was compelled to do because he wanted to give thanksgiving and praise to his Heavenly Father, part of his character. So let's look at the other part of the character of David. He had testimonies. He was quick to bear testimony of God and how it worked within his heart and how it worked within his life. In the Psalm, the 18th chapter, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Psalm 35, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." You know, one of the first things I thought about when we had an opportunity, we came and we fasted and prayed for Brother John and others too, that they might be able to find employment. And was it odd to you that within a week we get this email that he has an interview? What was your first thought? Say it. Say it out loud. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what I thought in my heart. Praise the Lord. He heard our prayers. Thank you, Father, for that blessing. You know, that was the first thing in my heart. How long had we had read emails? You know, for 6 months. "Well, John, have you gotten anything going?" "No." So what kind of a lesson were we taught here? As pastor, what was the lesson? Maybe we should have done that a lot sooner, right? Forgive me, Father, for being slothful in that. God does hear our prayers. And if we humble ourselves before Him, He will answer them in a mighty way. But was that just one person? Gary, what is your testimony? Yeah, what is your testimony of how God has helped you with what your predicament was since we prayed?
Well, things are working out very good right now. Hopefully Monday we'll completely rectify the whole situation.
And the night that we heard it, you know, we were all in a big dither, weren't we? But we placed it before our Father in prayer, in confidence that He would care for that which we were praying for. Why? Because it was right. That's what the Book of Mormon says. You know, if you come to me in faith, and if it's right, what's going to happen? I'm going to hear you, and I'll bless you. And so it is. So His word is truth. And we have these testimonies in our life. And I guess the whole thought and the whole thing that God gave me this morning to help me to understand is that maybe we have been not like David in being quick to stand and to give God thanks, to be thankful for the things that He does for us in our life, and to praise His name for those things. Psalm, the 79th chapter, it says, "So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever." That's it. That was in David's heart. "We will shew forth thy praise to all generations." Psalm 105, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And we could have just merrily gone and visited with different ones and not necessarily everyone would know or understand how God actually worked within their lives. And it's up to us to help them to understand that truly God hears our prayers. And God does love us enough to care for us. And that brings us into the other character, the other portion of the character of David was with prayer. In the Psalm 97, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." So in our prayers at night, or in our secret places, or when we come here to have a prayer service, I know many times we are asking and praying for things, but do we remember to give thanksgiving to God in our prayer for those things that he has given us as a people, and to thank him for the things that he's done in our life in prayer? In Psalm, the hundredth Psalm, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And I look at that when I come through that door, that double door over there, and I come walking in here. I'm thankful that I'm able to come, be a part of the congregation, be a part of your lives, and to thank God for that. Psalm 106, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then you can go to Psalm 107, 118, and 136. There is that theme within the psalm that puts in full display the character of David that would justify the words, "The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." There are others that we can read in the scripture. For example, Paul's teachings to the Philippians. You can find it in the fourth chapter. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests..." Forgive me. "Be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So not only is he saying that we have our requests, that we should make them known to God, but that we need to be mindful, to be thankful for the things that he did here in our lives, the things that he does in our lives on a daily basis, that we thank him for being a part of our life or allowing us to be a part of him. In Colossians, in the third chapter, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body." And it says, "Be ye thankful." You know, there's one thing that I would have to say, that we live in a society that's not thankful. Think about it. Open your eyes and look all around. That's what's lacking in our society. There is no gratefulness, no thankfulness. It's missing. And that's because they're without God. They cannot find anything in their life to be thankful for whatever reason. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That was those teachings that Paul taught to the Philippians and to the Colossians. So, can we find those same teachings in the Book of Mormon? Yeah, we can find those things. We went to Alma in the fifth chapter. I hear these are Alma's words to the people of Gideon. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle. Easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever things you stand in need, both spiritually and temporally, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. And see that you have faith and hope and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. So really, when we don't thank God, we don't praise our God, why is it? Is it because we are lacking in our hope of the things that God has promised to us? Are we lacking in our faith to exercise that faith enough to be able to lay our burdens at the feet of our God that He might hear us? What is it? We naturally, as parents, we teach our children, you know, when we give them something special, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What? Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. So you give them something special and you're expecting to hear that gratitude that you gave it to them. And if you don't hear it, what does it take away inside you? Do you want to do it again? Not really. Do you? If it's not appreciated, then why do it, right? God is no different. He wants to hear from us. And He gives those things. So He gives us our health. He gives us a home to live in. We live in a country that is different from any country in the whole world. We can come here and we can hear the Word of God preached without somebody busting through the doors and dragging us off to jail. You know? There are many things to be thankful to our God that He has given us those freedoms and those things of life. And it should be natural for us to, out of gratefulness, to thank Him. And if we don't, then are we ungrateful children? As the scripture many times pointed to Israel as being an ungrateful child, as an example. It's very important to express openly, publicly, in private, to our God our thankfulness, that we live daily in thanksgiving and praise to our God. So what is that like? What is it a parallel to? If we did this, what is it? There is a parallel here. We can find it in Revelation, the book of Revelation. You can go ahead and turn there in the 7th chapter. Here in the 7th chapter of Revelation, we find that it's giving us an image of a group of people who are going to come out of great tribulation that is going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And it starts out with 144,000 who are sealed. But I want to move over to the 12th through the 17th verses, and I'll read them. It says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So here we find a people that are there at the throne of God in white robes. Everything given to them. They're not going to be afflicted anymore, but what are they going to be doing? The 12th verse, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's what they were doing, praising God. Giving him thanks. So really, that is part of heaven. That is part of the eternal life at the throne of God, giving him praise and honor and glory. The expectation is that we're going to do the same here because it's going to be what we're going to be doing there. I ask that you might think about these things that I brought to you this morning. I know I've been laxed. I need to be more diligent. And expressing my thanksgiving. I keep it sometimes in here, but I need to express it more openly outwardly. May God bless you in your life, and may we hear of those blessings. Thank you.